God's empty Son. We call Him Jesus. He came to love. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is a proof, Savior. Oh, because He lives. Oh, because He lives tomorrow. Because He lives. Oh, fear is. Oh, my fear is gone. Because I know. And then one day, across that final river, I'll fight life. Oh, nailed with my Lord. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the light of glory fall. He reigns, because He lives. I can face tomorrow, because He lives. Oh, fear is gone, because I know He holds my future, and life is with living just because He lives. And in our day, God sent His prophet. Oh, He sent His prophet just as He promised that He would say, to prepare us His bride for the sent time message. And Christ in me is there to prove. Oh, I know He lives, because He lives. Oh, because He lives. I can face tomorrow. Oh, because He lives. Oh, fear is, oh, my fear is gone. Oh, because I know He owes my future, and life is with the living just because He lives. He lives. I can face tomorrow because He lives.
Good evening, saints. We do greet you in Jesus' name this evening. Let's open our Bibles, Revelation chapter 7. Let's just have some fellowship around the Word and come to a time of prayer before the Lord. It's a good thing to start the weekend in the Word and in prayer. Revelation chapter 7. Let's just get our thought from the first few verses. We'll just take the first four verses. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Let's also open Ezekiel chapter 9, which is the same principle. The prophecy is Ezekiel 9 is a prophecy of the end time, but it also speaks of the destruction of Jerusalem and the day of Pentecost. Ezekiel 9, we read from verse 1. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, "Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand." So it's very similar. "And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. So the glory lifted off the mercy seat to the threshold. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said to him, 'Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry, for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof.'" So there was a certain people not living in the atmosphere of that age. They were sighing and groaning when they looked at the abominations that were being done. They were a different category of people. So first he goes to those, and then verse 5, "And to the others he said in mine hearing, 'Go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have you pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary.'" Amen. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, "Defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth." And they went forth and slew in the city. Father, we do thank you for your word. Father, your word is good for admonition. Your word is good for correction. Your word is good for doctrine. It's profitable for all manner of things. And how we long this night to rightly divide the word of truth. And Father, as we do that, we desire to fellowship, Lord, in the spirit of your word. Father, for your grace, Lord, is revealed. Father, even in a day such as this. So Father, may you have mercy upon us as we gather in your precious name. We gather under your blood. Father, grant grace to us. Lead us and guide us, Lord, unto your feet this night, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. I'm just going to use the title of the message the prophet preached. We're just going to read one quote from it, but I just want to speak on the oncoming storm. You know, to me, it's a real timely sort of a thought. Just bearing in mind the various things that have been taking place in the natural these days. You know, we know this great storm that hit the Philippines. One of the greatest storms that has ever struck the earth with such a force and such a power. And then we see in America they have some tornadoes, and some of the tornadoes which they've had recently, they've never seen the size of some of these tornadoes that have struck some of the cities. And one of these tornadoes recently was over 2 kilometers wide. And it was a Category 5 tornado, and anything in its midst was completely destroyed. And it struck a certain town called Joplin and just went right through the town center. It destroyed the school. It destroyed everybody's house that was in the way. And the people were saying, "We've never seen things such as this." And we know that when we look at nature, the prophet says, these happenings of nature, it means something. Because the same God who sent us his word is the same God of nature. And nature and God's program work in continuity. So although people may speak of global warming, there may be some truth to that, I don't know. Man destroys himself, and they can speak of all these different reasons and causes for these things. But one thing which all of these people that study the weather are agreeing is that things are becoming more and more severe. And it's not going to get better as time goes by. So just as much as we're looking those weeks gone by at the economy and what's coming on that, you know, just these birth pains on every realm that you can think about. The birth pains that have struck the earth, the birth pains of the kingdom age, the birth pains which are going to be get closer and closer together. Jesus said, as a woman in travail, as a woman when she's about to give birth, the pains start to come. And you can time those pains. And as it gets closer and closer to the time of her delivery, they get so close and more intense. And you can tell how much time approximately there is to go by how much those pains are intensifying and hastening and getting quicker and quicker together. And once the birth pains come upon a woman, there's no stopping them. You can't stop it. It's a natural process that God has put inside of a woman that once that process stops, you're going to keep on going all the way to the end until it gives birth. And when we see these birth pains as well, there's nothing going to stop them. If there was going to be anything stop them, if there was anybody that could have stood in the breach or stood in the gap and turned away God's wrath, those days have passed. The prophet told us that. He says, you know, this, you can't turn it back anymore. And it came to that stage in the days of Israel as well, when the Lord said, he says, even if Noah, he says, and even if Daniel stood before me, he said, they only would deliver their own lives. That's how bad it got in the earth, even in the days of Israel. God's people, that God said, even if the people come to intercede, these righteous men, they will only deliver their own souls. I won't share their prayers of intercession for this nation, because things had gone beyond the point of no return. And it's a sad time in that sense to think, you know, because whenever we see these disasters, whenever we see these happenings, when we hear of history, what happened to Jerusalem, and when we see even now these natural disasters, it's the innocent that suffer as well. You know, the leaders of a nation can cause the whole nation to suffer. You know, the hardness of Pharaoh's heart caused the whole of Egypt to suffer. Everybody suffered. Every family lost their firstborn. They lost their crops. They lost the trees that brought forth fruit. They lost their cattle through the hail. The rivers were turned to blood. And every single person was groaning in Egypt because of the people that made the decisions. But also you get the leaders that you deserve. That's another principle as well. But we can really see that the innocent many times are caught up in these things. You know, and children suffer and all these things. And it's a very, very sad story. But the one thing which is sure in the midst of whatsoever God permits to come upon the earth is that God, before he allows his judgment, before he allows his wrath to really be poured forth, God will seek his children. That's a real wonderful thing. That principle of God's word never changes. And these examples that we've read today, you can take many from the Bible, but the Lord always puts the stipulation before judgment goes forth in its fullness. He says, first go through the city. Before you can destroy Sodom, go and get Lot out of there. You know, it's got to be like that. Before you can destroy Jericho, make sure Rahab is under the scarlet thread. Before this death angel comes, Moses, get the people under the blood. Now, God always will make a provision and a way of grace. And that really should give us a hope and an expectation. Because if we look in this Revelation chapter 7, it's speaking, the prophet says, of the First World War. He says, that's the first time, he says, 1914 was the first time in all history that all of the nations of the earth, from the north, south, east, and west, went to war at one time. It was the first great war. It was the first world war. And in Revelation chapter 7, the angels that held the four winds, the strife and the woes coming upon the nations, from the four corners of the earth, from the north, south, east, and west, they were instructed to hold back those winds. And the prophet says, when that war started, he says, with the mustard gas and all the weapons that were starting to develop, he says, if God didn't stop that war, it would have kept on going on and on and on and on and brought an end to all things. But God knew that I can't do that now. Because there's still the elect. There's still a people that are not in God's provided place. There's still a people that are in the line of God's judgment. And God will never pour forth His judgment when His children are in the line of judgment. As long as there's even one soul and one heart that is seeking for mercy, God will hold back the entire program of judgment to bring mercy to those people. And God will move heaven and earth to get mercy to His children. You go and look even in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would cross a sea on a stormy night. The prophet says, because one soul, that maniac, was crying out. And that soul of that man bound and in that condition, it caused Jesus to make His disciples get into the boat after that busy day that He had had and cross a stormy sea for one soul. Now God, like we've said many times, will put Paul and Silas in a prison because God had one of His children there. And he needed to come in and his family. Now God will really, really turn the nations over if He has to. He'll change governments if He has to. He allowed the curtain there in Russia, remember, the Soviet Union, to collapse so that the Jews could come forth. Because the prophecy in Ezekiel said, the Lord says, I will say to the north, let go my children, come forth. And the Jews were trapped there in Russia all those years, during the communist years, and they couldn't come out and get to the land of promise. So the Lord had to speak. And just all of a sudden, in such a short space of time, that entire system, that iron curtain, whatever that it was, it collapsed. And then you saw the Berlin Wall coming down. And then you saw the change of governments in Eastern Europe and that. And then all of a sudden, all of the Jews, they came back to the promised land. Now God will move heaven and earth to make sure that His children are safely sealed away before He'll allow the fullness of His judgment to come. That's a real principle of God's word. But there's another principle of God's word. It's just as much as God will make sure that He gives you the opportunity, if you're seeking for mercy, you've got to respond. Now, when God brings His grace to you, when God brings a preparation, when God comes to minister an entrance to you from the line of judgment into the line of mercy, God expects His people to respond. You've got to respond to what the Lord is doing. And all nations, all nature speaks of that. The prophet speaks in the message, the second coming of the Lord. And he speaks of that earthquake, that big earthquake in Bombay, India. And he had gone to India just after that great earthquake. Now, and the prophet says, now I want you to watch the intelligence of nature. Now there's an intelligence in nature. And he says, all of a sudden, by some unknown reason, all the little birds in the city began to leave for the country. Now, people were still continuing on, going down to the bars and going to the discos, and women were still going into the fashion outlets and looking at all the latest fashions, not realizing that something was coming, that there was a judgment coming. There was a disaster on its way, something which they needed to seek for refuge from. Yet nature, the prophet says, look at the intelligence that God has put in nature. The birds, they started to leave the cities. The prophet says, and the birds by swarms left for the country. And then they began to notice all the cattle and the sheep and the oxen. He says, in India, their fences are not like our fences. They're not wooden, but they take great rocks and they build them up high. And all the cattle began to get away from the walls and get away from the buildings and go way out in the middle of the field. And they began to mill around in the middle of the field. Then all of a sudden a great earthquake struck and shook down the walls and the trees and the rocks and the missiles flew. He says, and the birds never returned. So the people thought, hey, that's good. You know, the ones who survived the earthquake, this is okay. Let's go back in our homes. Let's get back in the apartment blocks or whatever. And the people went back inside, but the birds never returned. They and the cows and the oxen stayed in the middle of the fields. And Jesus had instructed fallen man to learn from nature, consider the birds of the air. Whereas before man was the supreme in Eden, he could speak and the creation would listen. But man has come so low now in sin and in degradation and so far from God That nature, those very things that should be under man, are more in tune with God than God's pinnacle of his creation, which is man. Because the birds and the oxen, imagine the dumb driven oxen, the ones that you have to drive with a whip and with a stick and with a goad, they could respond to something. They could realize, we need to get away from this place and we need to go to that place. And friends, they just respond. There's an instinct, the intelligence of nature. There's an instinct inside of nature that when those conditions come and that certain feeling and something spoke to them inside of themselves, there just came something inside of them and they just immediately respond. They don't reason it out. They don't think too much about it. They know that, no. When this little buzzer goes on inside of here, we've got to seek for safety. And so these birds, the prophet says, they never went back. He says, the birds never returned. The cattle stayed out in the field. And men went right along thinking it was all right. And the next day, another earthquake rocked and more buildings turned over. And the missiles flew. And on the third day, the cattle went back to the walls and the birds returned to the cities. And that's a real thing to think about, friends. If God can speak to nature, because he doesn't want nature to perish. If God can be mindful of a little bird making its nest in the rocks of a wall, and God can be so mindful of a little sparrow, like Jesus said, which are, you know, three of them are sold for 2 farthings, whatever Jesus said. They're just worth nothing to man. But God can have such a concern to say, I do not want my creation to perish. There's a judgment. There's something coming. There's danger coming. So God now, he speaks. And there's certain parts of his creation at that time. Anybody that's in tune with him at that time, they'll respond. And they'll receive something. And they'll realize, you know, we need to lay aside just our normal living our lives and running helter-skelter to and fro and eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, because something inside of here is saying it, we need to get to safety here. The same warning that's warning us now to say there's a danger coming. The prophet says the same one who sends the warning is the same one who provides a refuge. You know, and that's why people, unfortunately, are not like the animals. They don't respond in that way. Yet God will warn and God will warn, but you've got to respond. You've got to recognize and say, but no, I'm still in the line of judgment here. Now I need to move from where I am. If I continue to stay where I am at this time, I'm in peril. I can feel it inside of my soul. There's an uneasiness inside of me that I'm not prepared for this disaster, this whatever it is that's coming. And friends, the whole world feels like that. If anybody would just get quiet enough at this time, any person out there would get quiet enough and still enough, I believe that God would speak to them through nature, through all the different things, through the signs in the heavens, through the disaster striking the earth. People can sense it and people can feel it. And that's why you find Jesus, whenever he'd speak about prophecy, the prophetic end time signs, he would always bring it to earthquakes. He would bring it to the sea a roaring. Because there's something about these great events of nature. No matter how scientific a man may be, when he sees that huge hurricane strike and the helplessness of man, and no matter what man does, no matter how much man might try to put up his defenses, whatsoever he will try to do, man realizes that we are powerless here. There's a power that's greater than us. And you don't want to be caught in the line of this power if you're not prepared. And that brings a consciousness. You find it on, you watch on YouTube, when you see it in the Philippines, they say, this was a disaster of biblical proportions. You see the terms, they catch these terms. And when there's a disaster, they say, it was like Armageddon. You see, there's something inside of the psyche of man inside that they know those things are true deep down inside. That the Bible is true. Whenever they had the big swarms of locusts in the Middle East, I think last year, they said it was like the plagues of the Bible. You see, it's interesting how they use that terminology. You know, it shows that when they see those things, not the mental faculties, not the reasoning of man, because that'll deceive you every time, but a little buzz inside of here, which God has put inside of people, responds and recognizes it. This means something. This isn't just a random event. This is just a chance happening. Now, and people say, but the weather, it just happens. The weather doesn't just happen. Imagine. There was a colored woman in Memphis who got down on her knees to pray for her son that was dying. And there came such a big storm system up in the sky that the prophet was in the airplane trying to fly. And as he got near Memphis, they couldn't fly any further. And then the pilot comes on the intercom and says, look, I'm really sorry. This is big storm system that's developed. And they can use whatever pressure things they want to say, this low pressure system and this high pressure system and whatever. And we're going to have to land. And then he lands and they put him in the Peabody Hotel. And in the morning, he just wants to go and post his letters. And the Lord says, just keep on walking. And brings him to that colored haunt down there. That shows us that there's a master of the wind. There's someone behind these things. Imagine Paul gets in a boat one day and he tells them, it's not going to be good for us if we take this journey. It's better that we stay here for the winter. And they didn't listen to him, yet being a prophet. And they get in the boat, and there he goes with the Romans on the way to Rome. And there comes Euroclydon, they call it. This huge tempest comes in the sea. And it wasn't just a chance tempest. It was a similar sort of tempest to when Jonah got in the boat and thought he'd go to Tarshish when God had said, go to Nineveh. And all of a sudden, this great storm system came in, and this great typhoon, this great hurricane struck that particular place. Amen. Friends, these are not random events. If we could understand the mind of God and the program, there's a reason for these things. There's something behind all of these things. These things don't just happen for nothing. And man, when you start coming to your senses, you start to realize that. You know, I just heard from the believers in Donetsk, they put it on their website about that hurricane in the Philippines. How the pastor there of that church, in which nobody was even injured in his church, he had a vision of a great wave coming. And he contacted every person in the church and said, come to church and pray. And I read it myself from Brother Tony Abmer. And Brother Tony Abmer says, and all the people, believers, came to the church. And while they were in the church, the storm surge hit. And while they were praying, it was destroying all the houses around them. And the believers were safe in the church. And I was saying it to Gutan in the car. I said, sometimes the warning is so simple. Imagine those believers that day who might have thought, I'm not going to church today. I've got to do my studies. Or I've got other things that I need to. Sometimes you've got to be sensitive, friends. Sometimes there's times we need to just forget about those kind of things. And make sure that we're living in the right channel, that we're in tune, because in these kind of times you need to be in tune. And each of those believers that was in tune, when the pastor said, come, let's pray, you know, I've seen this, the Lord has revealed this coming, this great wave, and they went and they were praying. That was God's provided way. That was the same God who spoke to the birds and spoke to the oxen there in India. Was the same God who came and spoke to them at that time and said, gather together in my provided place and seek my face. And that was a secret place of the Most High. Because though 10,000 fall on your left hand and 1,000 at your right, the Lord said it won't come near you. Amen. Is that not powerful? You know, I was thinking of it in the car coming, and it reminds me of the time when Brother George was staying in the apartments there in Dublin Castle. And we were doing our services there at in Tulla at the community center. So we had to carry all of our musical instruments and all the things every time. And we had given Brother George, I don't know what the money was for. I think we had to send the money somewhere or something. But Brother George had in an envelope a lot of money from the church, which was going to be used for something. And Brother George came home. All the church equipment was in his apartment. And the money was sitting right in the kitchen. On the table, which you used to use as a pulpit in those days for the prayer meeting. At lunchtime, somebody doesn't lock the door of the apartments properly. And there's three levels. There were three apartments. Brother George's was the middle one. There was the ground floor, first floor, and the second floor. Somebody comes in there, gets some from the restaurant nearby, those bar stools, gets some pillows, puts them on, goes down to the ground floor and breaks open the door to the first apartment and goes and steals everything inside of there. He comes out of the ground floor, walks right past Brother George's door, and goes to the third floor, the next apartment, the top floor, breaks that door down, steals everything inside of there, and then goes. But he never went to Brother George's door.
Hallelujah.
That's the same God.
Amen.
Who said, put the blood on the door, and when I see Amen. The blood, I'll pass over you.
Amen.
To me, it was so powerful that time. I said, what are the chances of that? The man breaks this one, skips Brother George, breaks into this one, and then goes away with all the things that he had stolen. And never even touched the door. Friends, sometimes we miss those kind of things. But that's God's protection over his people. That's the same God. The same God that spoke to those believers in the Philippines and said, go and pray. At this time, you need to seek my face. Get to that place. Get to the house of the Lord. Seek me at this time. Friends, he's the same God today. He wants to warn you and I. He wants to move us to where we're supposed to be. If we're in the line of God's anger, in the line of wrath, as his judgments are in the earth, he just wants us to respond. He just wants us to yield. It doesn't mean we need to try to be smart. The prophet says, oh, he who feeds the sparrow, he that brought his little creatures into the ark, still lives and reigns today. That same God that spoke to those animals, get to the ark. The same one has said to the prophet Noah, Noah, the end of all things has come. There's a provided place. Come into the ark. Is the same God who's dealing with you and I. He's the same God. He's the same one that can just make you feel at certain times, I don't need to do that now. He's the same God that says, I don't need to take this journey now. You've had it yourself. And you just wonder how it is. I remember that time when we had our accident in the car. And we were going to Brother Rock's house. And we were supposed to go along with Rachel. And just at that last minute before we got in the car, I said to Katana, let's rather leave Rachel with your mother. You know, it's funny how those things happen. So we left Rachel at home. We put Daniel in the back seat. We went down the road on the way through the countryside. We went down in the ditch. There was ice. The car spun around and we crashed right into the hedge. And the car stopped in the hedge over the river. The hedge stopped us going in the river. But as we smashed, Daniel's seat was fine. But Rachel's seat hadn't been put in properly. And her seat went flying right across the car when we crashed. And I said it to God, and I said, that was nothing but the grace of God.
Amen.
If we had have put her in that seat, she would have flown across the car in the accident. But it's sometimes just those small little things.
Hallelujah.
It's good to listen at that kind
Amen.
Of a time.
Amen.
When something says, go and make that right. Just go and make it right.
Amen.
When something says, seek my face now.
Amen.
Just go and pray.
Amen.
Don't put other things ahead of it. Don't get too busy in life. If something moves you and says, go and speak to that person.
Amen.
Just follow his leadership. That was the secret of the prophet's success, was just that simple yieldedness and that simple obedience.
Amen.
And I believe that all that we need to do, the prophet says, all the church needs to do is to respond.
Amen.
I think we just need to get yielded. We just need to get in tune. And as the Lord moves, we just move with him. What he wants us to do, we do. What he doesn't want us to do, we just don't do. And he will take care of the rest.
Amen.
The same one who provided the ark in the days of Noah is the same one who's provided the place of safety for us in this age. Then we just need to follow him. The prophet says, when man blasphemes the little creatures of the earth, God provides for them, and they made their way away from those big walls. They would have been killed. The birds would have been mashed in the cracks of the rocks as it rocked to and fro. Signs of his coming. Oh, it's a great day that we're living in now. Earthquakes in diverse places, pestilence, all those things that Jesus spoke of is here. To my way of seeing, I don't see anything left. The coming of the Lord is at hand. And don't you feel the same way, friends? To me, I feel it these days. I really feel you've got to really walk close to the Lord these days. You know, these are days we're moving into this place. There's a deception out there. It's striking the world. You see America this week turning against Israel. Israel fearing, the leaders in Israel fearing, because for the first time they say in 70 years, America negotiated with Iran secretly and never even told Israel, selling Israel down the river. And the prophet says, when you see that, he says, when you see America turn against Israel. When you see America taking sides with those Arabs, he says, they finished.
Amen.
He says, they finished. He says, they're about to make the greatest mistake they ever made. They're about to take sides with the Arabs. And friends, it just has to be like that. It's the day in every realm that you can look at, there's prophecy being fulfilled. The prophet says prophecy is being fulfilled so quickly in this age that if you're not really born again, you'll never keep track with what God is doing. There's just so many things taking place, so many things taking place. And friends, we just need to get the frequency dial. And even as we come tonight to pray, just tune ourselves up once again. Put ourselves under the blood, humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, I just want to be yielded. I just want to be surrendered. I just want to be in a condition that I can follow you, that I can follow your leadership. In the message, The Oncoming Storm, he says, he reads from Matthew 7 when Jesus says, it's like the kingdom of heaven is like a man who builds his house on the sand. And the storms come and the rain came and the winds blew. And his house was destroyed. And the prophet says Jesus was speaking of a coming storm that has got to strike every man and every woman that's born in this world. Because if we don't even live to see the fullness of what's coming on the earth, it might be our own time anytime soon. There may be the storm of sickness, maybe the storm of death may strike you suddenly. That storm that strikes. And the prophet says there's just no way out of it. He says the storm will strike you sometime or the other. And it depends on what kind of a foundation that you have, whether your house will weather it or not. And friends, would it not be good tonight for us to examine our foundation? To see, what am I building on? Am I building on sinking sand? Or am I building on revealed truth? Am I building on the anointed word? Am I building on God's original program of doing things? Because when the storm comes, it's too late then. That's not going to come and test your foundations. And look what's happening in the message with these storms of unbelief and the storms of criticism and all these things taking place. It's shaking people, friends. And if you don't have the genuine foundation, Paul said, no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid. The foundation is Jesus Christ. You've got to build on a personal relationship with him. The revelation of his word, the leadership of his spirit. You've got to build on that. And everything's going to be tested. Then the prophet starts speaking. He says, there's been many lives saved because of preparation for storms. Preparation for storms. And there's been many a life lost because of failing to take heed of the warning of the storms that's coming. Why I went to read this quote is when I heard about the believers in the Philippines. I said, it's true. Many lives have been saved by paying heed to the warning. Many lives are lost by not paying heed to the warning when it comes. But there's always going to be a warning. God will always bring a warning to a man first before he brings him to judgment, the prophet says. Mercy will always precede judgment. But you've got to respond. You've got to recognize your day. You've got to see grace as being grace. You've got to see your need, and you've got to see God ministering to your need, and you've got to submit yourself to him. And God will do everything which in his heart he desires to do, which is to bring his people to the place of safety. He says, not long ago I was told a story that happened, I believe, in the newspaper. I read it in Florida. There have many great storms that sweep through Florida. Typhoons that come in off the sea. No, we saw it in Philippines, a typhoon coming in off the sea. And it brings the water for city blocks up into the city and sweeps out everything. And I'm told that their weather prophets are always on the lookout for such storms. You see, in the natural, you have your prophets, the weather department. They use the instruments in the sky. They use the instruments, everything which they possibly can use, they use it. The weather department, weather forecasters, the prophets, they say the weather prophets. Their job is to warn the people of the storms that are to come. That's a type of the prophets that God sends to every age. They're to come and warn the people as well, to get to safety before the storms come. And he says, and they can contact the changing of the weather and the atmosphere, which way this weather is gathering that will bring forth one of those storms, because They've made it a life study. Friends, that's why they know this coming hurricane. I was watching something the other day about Hurricane Katrina, which was the most devastating hurricane that ever hit America. And those weather forecasters saw it coming. And it struck Florida first and went through and got into the Gulf of Mexico. And then it sucked up all that warm, moist water from the water. And it just got like so empowered from a force 3 up to a force 5 hurricane, which is the strongest hurricane. And those forecasters told exactly where it was going to strike on the Louisiana coast. They said it's going to strike between this town and this. That's where it's going to strike. And that is exactly where it struck. And there were all these millions of people in New Orleans, and these weather prophets told them, there's coming a storm. And this is worse than anything we've ever seen. We've never seen anything like this, because New Orleans is built in a basin under sea level. And on the one side is a big lake. On the other side is the Gulf of Mexico. On the other side is the Mississippi River. And they built these big earthen levees, big earthen banks all around the city, topped at the top with concrete. So if there's any storm surge or if the Mississippi overflows, they protect the city like that. And those weather prophets saw it straight away. This storm's too big. We never built these defenses for a storm this big. And they told the mayor and the governor, and they told them, let everybody get out of the city. And they told people to evacuate. That was on Friday afternoon. They said, evacuate the city. Get out of the path of the storm. You've never seen a storm like this. Saturday comes. The police are going around warning people, leave your homes, get to safety, get out of the path of the storm. Saturday night comes, they go with the film crew into the entertainment city of New Orleans. Everybody's having a big party. The people are getting drunk, the people are dancing, the people are playing their jazz. You know, they like their jazz there. And they ask the people, what are you in the blues? What are you doing? Oh, we've seen storms before. We survived the hurricanes of the past. We'll ride it out in our homes. Friends, that kind of a decision can cost you your life. Amen. And can cost you the life of all that you love. And they stayed there. And they say more than 100,000 people decided, we're not going to move out of the way of the storm. Yet the prophets had warned them. And had told them exactly when, Monday morning around 8 o'clock, the storm's going to hit. And this is where it's going to hit. And this is what it's going to cause. And the people never listened. And then the storm came. And they even said to the mayor and the governor, send the army in to compel the people. To force the people. These people don't realize what they're doing. They don't realize the danger. They're in the line of danger. And they even put it on the forecast. They used the words, devastation is coming. That was the word they kept using, devastation. And the people said, we'll stay in our homes. And then the storm struck. And by the time it came to about lunchtime on the Monday, with storm winds almost 200 miles an hour, almost 300 and something kilometers an hour, it blew down everything and it broke those levees. And the lake flooded into New Orleans. And the Mississippi River flooded into New Orleans. And the storm brought such a surge, about 12 feet of water, 3 meters, and pushed it right into the midst. And the people were stuck. And all of a sudden, the water was going up. And the people got up into the second floor if they could. And the water kept coming. And people got up into the attics, the roof space. And still the water kept coming. And they found so many people drowned in their roof spaces. And some people were breaking the roofs and they were going with the helicopters over and showing the people on their roofs. And they had big signs saying, please help us. And the governor was saying, but we told the people, this is unnecessary what they're going through. It didn't have to be like this. And so many people died in that storm. And then in the place where it didn't flood, just to show how amazing it was, there was one place which was above the flood. There came a fire. And it burnt more than 100 and something houses, wooden houses in America, and burnt the people in the houses there. It was a judgment sign. It was a real judgment sign. But friends, these are the kinds of things like the prophet is saying. You've got to heed the warning. there's a certain place. And there were all these people, and all of a sudden on the Friday, the governor and the council and the authorities realized, but there's a lot of people in the city don't have their own transport. And some of them are so poor, they can't even pay for a bus. Now we're telling them to get out of the way of the storm. We better send something to help these people. And they had to send the buses and everything into the neighborhood. You see how it is, friends? It's like if God is going to say,
Hallelujah.
Rebecca, come to Isaac. Abraham's going to send the camels to fetch her. God will always send something to bring you to the place of safety if you're willing to respond. And they sent out the buses and they sent out the army and different things and said, it's too late to take you very far. We'll put you in the Superdome. The Superdome is the big stadium there in America. And they took about 20,000 people and put them in the Superdome. And the Superdome was built to withstand 200 mile an hour winds. And all those people were sitting in that stadium, and then that storm struck. And then they got surrounded by water and there was no way of escape. And then it started to pull off the roof. If you want to see people panic, you just watch what happened when that roof started to go. The wind started to pull off the roof and the water started coming into the stadium. Friends, it's a sad thing when you look at those kind of things, but it's a warning. And the prophet speaks here of this man. He says there was this great typhoon coming to Florida. And one man was concerned for his neighbor who kept chickens. And he went down to his neighbor and he pleaded with the man and said, please, there's a typhoon coming. And it's going to swamp this place. Because they were right near Lake Okeechobee, the prophet says. So there was going to be the surge of water. And the man says, no, I'll never leave my chickens. All my life I've raised these chickens. I'll stay here with my chickens. Then the man pleaded and said, but if you don't want to go, at least let us take your wife and your children. He says, my wife and my children believe the same as I am. They're going to stay because I'm the breadwinner here. And the man could do nothing because the storm was coming and he got back in his vehicle and he went to shelter himself. And then the storm struck that place. And they never found the body of that man, the prophet says. He says, but as the storm waters went up, his wife and his children got on the roof. It was the only place they thought they could find safety. And then all of the rattlesnakes and the cottonmouths and all this coming from the swamps also looked for a place of safety and started coming onto the roof as well. And it was in the newspaper, and they found that lady, she had been trying so hard to keep those snakes from her children. But first the snakes killed her children, then the snakes killed her. And they found her there on that roof surrounded by snakes. Friends, a wrong decision can cost a lot in times like that. And it's exactly the same as in the day that we're living. What do we need to do? We just need to be humble, friends. We just need to be yielded. We just need to be submissive. God has everything in his hands. God is not willing that any should perish. God will always bring mercy first. He'll always send the sealing angel through the city first. He'll always send the two angels down to Lot first, even if he has to almost compel them to come out. Because God doesn't want to have to pour forth his judgment upon people. But we've got to respond. When God is ushering us to the place of safety, when God is saying, come in, you know, separate yourself. Come out from those things that my judgment is going to fall upon. Stay away from those things. Seek my face. Be sealed into my kingdom. Let my seal be put upon you. Amen. Wait upon me. All the church, the prophet says, has to do is to respond. And I really do believe that's what God calls us to do. God just wants us to wait upon him. There's nothing more that we have to do in this day. God has sent us a prophet and he's warned us of things to come. He sent us a message and it shows us the way of escape. God has sent us his spirit. God has given us the anointing of the eagle to usher us to the tree of life right in this evening time. I'll just close with this. I was watching a little bit about, you know, this Los Angeles earthquake, and I watched somebody, Brother Tommy had given me a CD of Brother Perry Green in 1991 speaking about that earthquake and speaking about Joe Brandt's earthquake dream. I know many of the saints have read that. And so Perry Green was speaking about it. It was very interesting. You know, it was very powerful. But he got to a certain point, Brother Perry, and he was speaking about God warning people. And he spoke about Dima Shakarian. Now people know Dima Shakarian. Dima Shakarian was the leader of the Full Gospel Businessman. And he was a personal friend of Brother Peregrine. And Brother Peregrine said, we may not have agreed on everything. He says, but Dima Shekerin was really used of God. It was very helpful when I heard that yesterday. And he spoke about the different ways God had used Dima Shekerin to open the ways for the prophet so that the wheat was kept safe while it was still in the shuck. Before the wheat came, the shuck pulled away from the wheat. But he spoke about how Dima Shekerin, being a man from Armenia, Armenia is there, the Caucasus Mountains in Eastern Europe, down there, Southern Asia, wherever it is. How Dima Shekerin's family came to be living in California. And to me, it was a real interesting story. And I just went to research it a bit, and I just wanted to share it a little bit before we pray. And it's a story of God warning his people. Amen. It's very interesting. And it started off in 1855, this was the year that it started. God visited his church in Russia. The prophet speaks about it in Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel? He says, God poured his spirit upon Russia first, and they rejected it, then they went into communism. But God visited Russia with something like Azusa Street, if you read history, in the mid-1800s, around 1850-something. And in this particular town where Dima Shekerin's grandfather was, they received an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And there was a young boy, I'll tell you his name. His name was Ephraim Klubniken, an 11-year-old boy. And God poured his spirit out on this young boy. And this boy was so much given to prayer and seeking the Lord, and he had a gift of prophecy. And everybody recognized he spent so much time in prayer. And then they came, when he was 11 years old in 1855, there came a real burden on this young man. And for 7 days and seven nights, the power of God sat on that young man. And he didn't eat and he didn't drink and he didn't sleep. And although he couldn't write, he started to write. And they say he wrote with beautiful handwriting. And he started to write now this prophecy. God was speaking to the Armenian people. It says he neither ate or drank nor slept during the 7 days and seven nights. And although he was an illiterate boy, he wrote in a beautiful handwriting. And he drew pictures and maps and charts. And he foretold that peace would be taken from the earth and that Armenia would be overrun by the Turks and that the Armenian Christians would be massacred unless they went to a land across the sea, which the pictures and charts and maps showed to be America. And he prophesied and said, God has promised to bless and to prosper everyone who will heed this warning and go to the country where they'll be free from this persecution. And in the end, when Dima Shekerin and the Armenians went to California, Dima Shekerin, he owns one of the richest cattle ranches in America. God so blessed them even materially. That's why they were in he started the full gospel business, man. Those Armenians did very well. Now, as it was in the case with most prophecy, the warning had no meaning at the time. That was 1855. And it was not until far later that it came to pass. Nevertheless, the Russian boy's prophecy was carefully preserved, waiting such a time as its full meaning would be revealed by God. Okay, so it speaks of Dima Shekerin's family. 45 years passed, came to 1900. He was now 56 years of age, and he was still living in that community. And for 45 years, he was considered a false prophet because his prophecy, it seems, had never come to pass. Then, without any advanced indication, the Lord spoke to him again. And he instructed him to warn the Armenians that the time had come for the prophecy to be fulfilled. Consequently, he began telling the people, the time has come. Now is the time to leave this country. And the words quickly spread among the Armenian Pentecostal Christians. And some of them and some of the Russian Pentecostals began their exodus to America. The year was 1900. They took the written prophecy with them and they preserved it in their church in Los Angeles. First they went to New York, then to Los Angeles. And the unbelievers mocked them just as Noah and his family were mocked before the flood. People said, you're crazy, what are you doing? It's peaceful, everything's good. But prophets see things far off. They see the shadow coming before it's there. And they speak of it as being present tense. He says 2 years later. So they started going. Dima Shakarian's grandfather and father moved in 1905. And the last of those Armenian Pentecostals moved in 1912. 2 years later, the Great War, World War I, broke out. And in the terrible onslaught, Turkey overran Armenia. And more than 1 million Armenians were put to death. And every soul in that town where they were from was wiped out. Every single one of them died who didn't hear that voice. Every single one of them when judgment came. The mockers and the scoffers and the unbelieving Christians were destroyed. And at the top of this article, when the man speaks about it, listen to what he says, why he puts the article. He says, I read this many years ago, and it is a strong warning to heed the prophets or to die. But he was a young boy. We don't even know this. I've never heard of him before. You've never heard of him before. He was a minor prophet in his region. God raised him up with the gift of prophecy. But friends, we know of a prophet. And we know of a message. And they had sense enough to realize we need to pay heed to this. And if you notice, I didn't just listen to it. But the prophet is sharing, recognizing, and acting on the word of God. When they heard it, they recognized this is true. There was some witness of the Spirit inside of themselves that they knew this is a genuine thing. And when the time came, just like the prophecies, when the cold winds blow down there in Canada, and those ducks upon the lake, and that first cold wind comes, they sense it. It's time to go. And they get themselves together. And one of them rises up as a leader. Maybe he's never been to Louisiana, never been down to Florida before. And he just gives a certain sound. The prophet says, honk, honk. And all the other ducks come and they swarm together. And they go straight, the prophet says. He says, they go through the pathless skies. There's no paths. And they'll go just as straight as anything, straight to the place of refuge in Louisiana. He says, it's the intelligence of nature. He says it's what God has put inside of his creation. And how about you and I, friends, being the pinnacle of his creation? If we can just get ourselves out the way. If we can just get so filled of his goodness and filled of his revelation and filled of his Spirit. And let the world and its abominations be sealed out. And let the atmosphere of heaven be sealed in. Friends, there's nothing that you have to fear. Because he's going to warn you beforehand. Now to close. The same young boy. He had a second vision. It's very interesting. This is what Perry Green was speaking about. And he wrote down this prophecy. And he sealed it up in an envelope. And he gave it now to the Armenian Christians. And he told them, do not open this letter. If anybody opens this letter before time, they'll die. And two people already have died. But he told them, when you see the war clouds gathering over Israel, that was the sign that he told them. When you see the war clouds gathering over Israel, open the letter. Because it will be a prophecy for that time. And Brother Peregrine says, I went to Dima Shakarian and I said, has anybody opened the letter? And they said, nobody's yet opened the letter. And Brother Perry said, I'll tell you what it says in that letter. And this is, how do you know? He says, because Brother Branham already told us what's going to happen to Los Angeles. He's already told us, and he says, when you open that letter, God is going to be telling you to leave that place. Amen. But they haven't opened the letter yet, because they say the time has not yet come. Yet many of those Armenian Christians, through some other sense, they're leaving California. Many of them have gone down to Argentina, they say. They've gone down and they've made new lives in South America. They can sense inside of themselves they're in the line of judgment. Amen. Now, friends, that's not the bride. That's just the foolish virgin. That's the remnant. But look how God cares for his people. Hallelujah. Look how God cares for his people. He doesn't want any of his people, even if it's Lot in Sodom, he doesn't want any of his people, whether it's his bride, foolish virgin, whosoever it is. He doesn't want anyone caught in the line of his judgment. So he'll always provide a way of warning his people. And friends, all God expects of his people is to heed the warning, is to listen and to respond. And when God tells you to move, just move. When God says, leave these walls and leave these things are going to collapse and stay away from this atmosphere that I'm going to pour my plagues into, stay away from those things. Put the blood on the door. The prophet says, get prayed up. Seek his face. Get clothed in revelation. Clothed in his spirit. See things the way that he sees things. And friends, I really do believe this is a late hour. We don't know how much time's left, but I really do believe as believers, we need to draw near to the Lord at this time. I really do believe the Lord wants to do something. He's confirmed it in many ways recently. He wants to move. He wants to take us further. He wants to take us higher. He wants to do something for us and in us. But we've got to respond. Amen. And the best way to start, we've got to lay on our faces before the Lord. We've got to seek his face. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to put everything under the blood and just yield ourselves to his spirit and say, Lord, have thine own way. Have thine own way. Amen. And I believe whatever it is, personally to you in your life, God has a way to minister you through any storms that will come. To us as a church, to us as the bride, God has already provided everything that we need. And we just need to submit ourselves at this time. Give ourselves over to him. And let him lead us and guide us. We have more than the intelligence of nature. We have the revelation of the Holy Ghost. We have a listening post inside of our souls that can hear from heaven. That can recognize God. That can hear his voice. Sometimes it gets blocked up because we get too busy in the things of the world. We get too confused with the things of this life. We need just to wait upon the Lord. Amen. To get the eyes of again. To get things so that we're seeing with 20/20 spiritual vision. Seeing things the way that God wants us to see them. So let's come to a time of prayer this evening, saints. I really do believe when you see these things in the earth, there's so many things you can learn from them. I sent some of the brothers the other day about the San Andreas Fault with this new research they did. I may speak about it a little bit on Sunday. They've done new research on the San Andreas Fault. And their conclusion at the end of all their research is that there is a 99% probability. Some of the brothers watched it. 99% probability of a major earthquake in South California in the next 30 years. That's science. We didn't need them to tell us that. Amen. We had a prophet. We had a weather forecaster that looked ahead and told us 1965. Said it's going under. It's going to sink. Telling the believers then, get out of there. If I were you, get out. Get your families out. 50 years ago. And now science is catching up with those things. And they're confirming to us the very things which God has revealed to his prophets. How wonderful it is, friends. Let's stand. Let's sing a song. Let's come to a time of prayer. Just to seek the Lord before we go this evening. Let's put ourselves under the blood. Let's just sing that song. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. And tonight, if you haven't surrendered everything, if there's things you're holding back, why not just surrender them to him? What a wonderful peace it is when you take his yoke upon you. When you learn of him. When you walk in his ways. It's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
To Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence. Bit too high there, saints. Let's go down a little bit. Yep.
I
surrender,
my Lord.
I surrender.
I surrender
all to thee, my blessed Savior.
Jesus,
oh, to Jesus. Come before him and let's surrender this evening, saints. You call upon his name. Submit yourself. Let's all seek his face in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, I just want to wait upon thee, Heavenly Father, upon this evening, Lord, for all that I desire, Lord, inside of my life. Heavenly Father, Lord, just to seek thee, just to wait upon thee.
Lord, you wait up, Lord, show your flock where be, Lord, show your people. Father, we pray your grace, Lord, tonight, Lord. We pray your mercy, Lord, upon this night, Lord, show your people. Help the Lord, show your
Anybody have any prayer requests before we close in prayer tonight? Any prayer requests at all? Bro Max, do you have one there, bro? Prayer request, bro? Any prayer requests? Yes, bro. Okay. Does anybody want to speak them at all? Let's pray just as we close. We'll ask Brother Will if he wouldn't mind coming to close for us. Let's pray for Brother Yanko Thomas coming Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. Service is coming up next weekend. Let's pray for Sunday service as well. Let's pray for the people that should be here tonight, but they're not here.
Amen.
Let's pray as the Lord moves you. Let's visit, let's encourage, let's do what we can. Let's really, really seek the Lord at this time. Now, the Lord sometimes does things. He teaches us things. He allows things to get to a certain point. And then His grace kicks in once again. And I really do believe it's that kind of a time now. Let's just respond to Him. And any other requests, if you want to raise your hand before the Lord, we ask Brother Will to close for us in prayer.
Let us pray. Father, we are thankful, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We thank You, Father, that You have desired mercy. Father,
Amen.
You are righteous and You will not judge the righteous with the unrighteous, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, You would go Your way, out of Your way to seek Your children.
Yes, Lord.
Father, even as we heard of Lot, Lord,
Amen.
How he was even, Lord, not even taking heed of the warning.
Amen.
He had to be compelled to come out, Lord.
Amen.
Father, yet in this day, You are giving us the same warning, Lord.
Amen.
You are calling, Father. You are showing the things that are to be, O God.
Amen.
And Father, even science today is testifying, Lord,
Amen.
That, Father, there is great judgments that have come upon the earth, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, Lord, O God, be merciful to us tonight. For we have taken heed of Thy warning, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we have heard Thy word and it has done something in our hearts.
Lord.
Help us, Lord, that we may take heed tonight, Lord.
Amen.
Father, that we may take heed to forsake, Lord, all
Amen.
The things of this world. For indeed they are condemned, they are judged already, Lord.
Amen.
Help us, Father, Lord, that we may come out from these things, Lord, and come and stand upon the rock. That would not sink, Lord. Help
Amen.
Us to stand
yes.
upon Thy word. Help us to be found under the blood, Lord, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, be merciful to us, O God.
Amen.
For indeed, Lord, there is not even time. We do not know when, Lord. It could be this night. It could be tomorrow, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We don't know, Father, but we are seeking, Lord, for Thy grace, Lord.
Amen.
But, Father, whenever it would be, we may be found ready, Lord.
Amen.
Father, I pray,
Amen.
Lord, for the children. I commit
yes,
them
Lord.
To You, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I commit them and ask, Lord, that You would strengthen them.
Please,
You
Lord.
Keep them from sicknesses, Lord.
Amen.
We commit them to You, Lord. We
Please,
pray
Lord.
For the sisters, Lord.
Amen.
Looking after the families, Lord, we pray for them
yes,
that You
Lord.
Grant them wisdom, O God.
Amen.
That, Father, they be not overtaken by the things of the world, by the cares of the family,
yes,
but that,
Lord.
Lord, they would keep themselves ready, Lord, ministering to the children as well, Lord.
Amen.
And help us, Lord, even Father, as the brothers. Lord,
Praise
that Father,
Lord.
We keep our eyes fixed on You, Lord.
Amen.
Father, for there isn't time to be playing, Lord.
Amen.
But help
Amen.
Us, Father, to be sensitive to Thy
yes.
Spirit, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, that when You would put something on our heart to respond, Lord, to speak to a lost soul. To,
yes, Lord.
Father, feather Your word, Lord, into the
Amen.
World, Lord, or
yes,
to
Lord.
Warn somebody that is not walking in the right way, Lord.
Amen.
Please, Father, forgive us, Lord, for the many times
yes.
that we have not taken heed of
yes,
Thy voice, Lord.
Lord. Amen.
But tonight, Father, we want, Lord, to come again and commit ourselves
yes.
to You
yes,
and
Lord.
Ask, Father, that once more You'd give us another chance, Lord.
Amen.
Please,
yes,
Father,
Lord.
Be merciful. Lord, if there be anything, Lord, that could hinder You from moving in our lives, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we pray, Lord, that You'd reveal us, Lord.
Please,
You
Lord.
Reveal it to us, Father, and we are willing, Lord, to forsake it, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we are
yes,
willing, Lord.
Lord,
to burn all bridges, Lord, with
yes,
things
Lord.
that don't testify of your word, Lord.
Amen.
Help us, Father, to continue to walk in the light of this message. Father, for it is this message that is shining the light before us.
Amen.
And we want to be found faithful to it, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Father,
yes,
I pray, Lord, for every brother, every sister would have lifted up their hands with requests,
Amen.
Lord.
Yes,
I pray, Father, that you would come, Lord, and minister to each request,
Please,
Father,
Lord.
Oh God.
Amen.
You are faithful. We have seen you do many things in our lives. And we just want to commit all these requests to you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We pray for our brother Yanko,
Lord,
Amen. That you would bless his journey, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That, Father, as he would come amongst us, Lord,
Please,
it
Lord.
Would be a mighty blessing.
Please,
Lord, let us be under expectation, Lord.
Hallelujah.
That, Father, you would use him to minister to your children.
Amen.
May you strengthen him, Lord, and may the meetings, Lord, be for your glory. Lord,
Please,
we
Lord.
Pray, Lord, for the meetings on Sunday, Lord, as
Please,
we would
Lord.
Come again.
Amen.
I pray, Father, that you would be with us, Lord, that
Please, Lord.
We would continue from where we left off tonight, Lord.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
May you pour out thy spirit of wisdom,
Please, Lord.
Lord, thy spirit of revelation, Lord,
Amen.
Upon your
yes,
people.
Yes,
Father, that we would be expecting, Lord, that you would speak to us once again. We
Please,
commit
Lord.
The Sunday school to you, Lord.
Amen.
Help the teachers that would be teaching. We
Please,
pray
Lord.
For them, Lord, and we pray for our pastor
Please,
that you
Lord.
Would use him, Lord, again to Please, speak to us,
Please,
Father, on
Please,
Sunday.
Yes,
Lord, we pray, Father, for our brethren that were not here tonight, Lord,
Amen.
Yet they could have been here, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we pray, Lord, that you would grant them another opportunity, Lord,
yes, Lord,
that you would move something in their hearts, Lord, that they would come, Lord, not that we would meet with them and be happy, but that, Father, they may hear your word,
yes.
For there is not much time, Lord, to be playing church, Lord.
Amen.
So we ask
yes,
you
Lord.
Be merciful to them, O Father.
Amen.
Bless us now as we go home.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for the word tonight, Lord.
Yes.
Father, we ask now that you be with us in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 Do you have one song, Rachel, as we dismiss? Let's sing Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. It's even better, yeah, that's right.
Won't you add God's bosom to be your pillow?
Let's start again, bro. Yeah. In the rock of ages, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me.
At the
sounding of the trumpet, at the dawning of the day, worldly pleasures with their treasures shall forever pass away. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, the judgment day is coming. What an awful day it will be. Christ forever is my refuge. Rock of ages, cleft for me.
Oh, my loving brother,
when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. And our sinners will be crying for the whole meal never see, but the ransomed will be singing, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother,
when the world's on fire. Don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages. Cleft for me,
oh my loving brother,
when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, oh rock of ages. Cleft for me,
poor lost sinners will be crying for the home they never see, but the ransom will be singing, rock of ages, clear for me, oh my loving brother, oh my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of, in the rock of ages, play for me.